The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he lets us know then, reminds us that the events and the stories of the Bible and the Old Testament occurred as examples for us. We learn principles and we learn strategies for victorious Christian living through what we see in the lives of those who are portrayed in those stories in Scripture, such as Joshua and the people of Israel. So just quickly, some backstory for the book of Joshua. Visualize with me in bold print. It's not there, but if your Bible's like mine, you know, Joshua starts in the middle of the page right after the ending of Deuteronomy. And so I want you to just sort of visualize, or you might even do what I've done. I penciled in between the two books, and now. The words, and now. Okay? Visualize that in bold print between the last verse of Deuteronomy, the first verse of the book of Joshua, and now. It's really connecting the two books. It's a way of understanding that really Joshua is just a continuation of the story of Israel, the Hebrew story coming from Deuteronomy to Joshua. Look at the fifth verse of Deuteronomy 34. It's probably on the same page as Joshua starts. It says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab." Then drop down to verse 9. Now, almost it's like, "And now, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hands on him so that the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded him, just as he had Moses." So after being led out of Egypt by Moses, the people of Israel have been wandering through the desert, as you know, for how many years? 40 of them, right? 40 years wandering out there. They are now camped along the east bank of the Jordan River at the very edge of the land that is known and referred to in the Bible as the land of Canaan, also the promised land. They are there at the bank on the outskirts of that land that God had promised them. And it also said that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. You remember 40 years earlier, some spies were sent out, 12 of them, 10 came back, bad report, but they were carrying some of the fruit of that land. Grapes the size of bowling balls, probably not quite that big, but you know, just to emphasize the fruit that was found in that place. And you know, because of their bad report, the people listened to them instead of the two with the good report, and 40 years of wandering in the desert is what they got for it. They're back where they are when it all went wrong 40 years earlier, okay? That's where they are at this point. Back where it all went wrong for them 40 years earlier. God has been preparing Joshua to be the new leader, and now Joshua is preparing the people of Israel to enter into God's promised land for them. It is as if God is saying to Joshua and to the people of Israel, I want you to hear this now, I have made my move. We just sang about that, and we all would, I think, agree that, oh, how we need God to move in our world and in our country and in our church. It's as if God is saying to Joshua, I've done that. I've made my move. I've communicated to you what I'm doing, what I've done, what I'm doing, what I will continue to do. I have moved. I am moving. I will continue to move. But the question is, people of Israel, what are you going to do? We love asking the question, don't we? God, what are you up to? God, what are you doing? And I want you to just kind of visualize and in your own ears, hear him saying back to you, back to me, ah, but what are you doing? Yes, I have made my move. But what about you? Are you willing to make your move in my direction? So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at today. What are you going to do? For us today, we are at a place where it's kind of like a crossroads. We're at a place where we need to make some decision. Are we going to be committed to Christ and to God's ways? Are we going to come out of the wilderness? Are we going to stay there at the bank of the Jordan in unbelief and continue our wandering in the desert? Or are we going to make our move and trust God and enter in? Now, we're talking about a promised land. So what do we mean when we mention promised land here? And I think some people, when they hear that, they automatically go to thinking about heaven. And actually, in this context, that is not what is being talked about. When we get to heaven, and thankfully, that is our destiny, isn't it? How many of you are thankful for that? When we get to heaven, there will be no more wars. Wow. There will be no more enemies. There will be no more suffering or death or tears or pain. And check this out, and not even any more sin. All of these, however, are present in the book of Joshua. Are they not? No, the promised land is not heaven. It is, though, a picture of the victorious Christian life. It is a picture of victory, even in the midst of struggle and agony and chaos while still here on earth. It's what the book of Hebrews calls entering God's rest. Don't you just love that? It's almost like one of those biblical paradoxes once again. Rest in the midst of struggle. Rest and peace in the midst of battle. It's what we see in the book of Joshua. It's the life that God desires for his people. A fulfilled life lived in Christ in the here and now. Here's what all believers need to understand. Just as God promised the people of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey, just as he made his move, again, as we sang just a moment ago, he has promised you a place of peace and contentment and joy. And if you are ready to make your move, you can begin to take possession of the promised land as we are describing it here this morning. Today, this very moment. Perhaps there are some here this morning who feel like a long time ago you left the bondage of Egypt, but you have never made it into that place of abundant living in your spiritual life. You're wandering around in the wilderness instead of inhabiting the Holy Land, the promised land that God has promised. Now is the time to make your move. It's time now to enter the promised land. Joshua is a book of warfare. It is a book of painful defeats. They are there and recorded for us. And just as you and I are familiar with those own painful defeats in our own lives, amen? It's a book of warfare and painful defeats and even some suffering, but it is also a book of great victories. It's a book that has much to teach the modern day Christian about obtaining spiritual victory in our lives in our day. And so you've turned to the book of Joshua in chapter 1, and today we're going to look at some necessary steps for making your move from the way it is, the wilderness, to the way God wants us to be in our lives inhabiting the promised land. So first of all, you need to do this. And it's a favorite phrase of mine I've been using for years. You need to turn the corner. What do I mean by that? I think sometimes, like who the perhaps some of the folks that might still be out there wandering around in the desert, in the wilderness, typically specifying the world in which we live in, have desire and have some want to, and they get going along following God and doing good, but sometimes it just gets a little tough. Sometimes the way gets a little rough and bumpy, and sometimes we find ourselves getting frustrated and depressed and whatever, and then we're tempted at those points to say, this just isn't worth it. I think I'm going to check out. I'm going to leave. And at those times, I totally believe with all my heart, when we do that, we have no idea that just around the corner is victory and hope and conquest. But we don't ever find that because we drop off and we drop out. And we say to ourselves, this is just too hard. Who can do it? Well, none of us can on our own, but with God's help, we can. It's time to make our move. And so we need to turn the corner. Look at the first couple of verses of Joshua. He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, which is, means that he was Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the house of Israel. God is saying to Joshua and the people of Israel, it's time turn the corner. After wandering for 40 years, going round and round and round in circles out there in the wilderness, God's saying, it's time. It's time to make a move. It's time for some change. Time for some transformation. We need to be able to accept change in our lives. I know for so many of us, change is a difficult thing, isn't it? We kind of get comfortable in the old way, and change comes hard, but we need to accept change in our life. Now, listen to me. I believe God will be saying to us today that he does not want us getting stuck focusing on the changes that have come through recent events. Amen? And we're being told by all kinds of people it's not going to be the same, so on and so forth. And God would say to us, don't get focused on that. You get focused on the change I'm wanting to bring into your life. There's where the focus needs to be. You need to let go of the past, God would say, and you must be willing to move forward in Him, going in His direction, starting afresh, to take a new step, a bold step, a step of faith in God's direction. God was saying, in effect, turn the corner, Joshua. Moses was a great man. He was my servant, but he's gone. It's time to make your move. And I believe that's what he's saying to us today. For those of you who are still in the desert, God's saying to you, time. Turn the corner. A young man was very impressed by a motto on a sticker that he had come across that said, and you're familiar with the phrase, let God. He took that and cut the letters out and pasted it to a piece of cardboard and placed it on a wall in his bedroom. Somehow the blessing that he thought that might bring did not occur. However, one day he found that one of the letters had dropped off. And the motto now read, let go. When we let go of all those things that hinder us, such as what? Our will, our plans, our fears, our selfish desires, then we will advance out of the desert, out of the wilderness, into God's promises that he says are ours. Let go, and then let God lead you to move on. The 18th century Irish statesman Edmund Burke said once, "The past should be a springboard and not a hammock." I like that, don't you? He's saying that we shouldn't live in the past, but we can use the lessons that we were to learn back there in the past to move us forward. It's what helps us to turn the corner. Just as God said to Joshua, it's time now for you to turn the corner, you need to ask yourself today, what corner in my life needs to be turned? What part of the past am I still hanging on to? In what ways do I allow yesterday to hold me back? Whatever it is that's blocking your future, let it go. And then let God help you and empower you to turn the corner. And that's when you'll find the truth of verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Our second point here is simply this: walk where God is walking. Doesn't that make sense? God makes a bold promise to the people of Israel. I will give every place where you set your foot. I want you to know that God is making the same promise to you today. He wants to give you every place where you set your foot. Now, let's just make sure we're clear here. Even though the prosperity message says that God wants to load you up with stuff, that is not what we are talking about, okay? In fact, just this morning, I read a thing that it was just a beautiful little quote. It says, the magnet of prosperity has never drawn us closer to God, like the cords of affliction. We're not talking about getting loaded up with stuff materially. That's not what this is about. God wants to give you ownership of every area of your life, your spiritual life. That is what we are talking about. He wants to give you authority and his power in every area of your life. That's what we are talking about. Paul once used a phrase that we would do well to repeat every single day of our lives. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Romans 8:37. In other words, God made you, intends for you to walk in victory. This is what God wants for every area of your life. Some of you are here today and you know very well that there are some areas that need to come under his lordship. There are some areas in your life that have been tripping you up and causing you pain and grief for who knows how long. And God said, it's time to make your move. I have freedom for you. Will you trust me? For the people of Israel, entering the promised land meant living a life of battle and conquest. For us, every day is a day of facing the subtle deception of our enemy. Every day we must stay in the good fight of faith and experience victory upon victory upon victory as we walk where God is walking. God doesn't want you to be defeated at your job. He wants you to thrive and to shine for him in the work environment. He doesn't want you to be defeated at home. He doesn't want your family life to be filled with stress and tension and resentment. He wants it to be a place of joy, peace. He wants to give you ownership and power and authority over and against defeat in all those areas. Are you ready to make your move? It also applies to your spiritual life. For those of you who are struggling with sin, struggling with obedience, struggling with burnout, struggling with living in some kind of emotional vacuum, I want you to know that God can and will give you victory in these areas as well. You can experience joy, love and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit that are flowing in the land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. God is waiting for you to make your move. Turn the corner and receive them as He freely gives them. Amen. It's time to walk where God is walking. Look at your life. Look at every place that you set your foot, your home, your work, your church, your ministry, your neighborhood, your social life, your health, your finances, your extended family, you name it. And on it could go. Decide today to believe that God wants to give you victory in each of those areas. And unlike the Israelites, may God help us not settle for less, amen, than what He has promised. Verse 4, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea, in the west. The Lord says, I've already given you the land. I've made my move. It's already a done deal. It's just a matter of how much of it you want. I won't take you any farther than you choose, but I'll take you as far as you want to go. And so just how far did the Israelites go in this promise? The promised land that God gave Israel, we are told by the Bible scholars, amounted to about 300,000 square miles. At the height of their power in biblical days, in Solomon's reign, the Israelites only possessed 30,000 square miles, one-tenth of what God had promised. Can I be honest, church? I can't help but wonder if we have even done that. If you're familiar with the map, the Euphrates River actually begins in modern day, begins in the southwest tip of Armenia, kind of starts its flow, goes through Turkey, and ends up down into the Persian Gulf. You know what that means if you were to look at a map? It means that it takes in a little bit of Armenia, Turkey, all of Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. That's some large landmass, isn't it, that God had promised. Today, Israel is about 290 miles north to south, and about 85 miles at its widest point, east to west. It's time we believe and embrace God's promises for just that, the promises of God. Which leads us to our final point, remain focused on your promise keeping. God, look at verse 5 with me. Says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? He didn't just make it to Joshua. He makes it to us as well. These words are echoed in the book of Hebrews. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. And they're similar to the very last words that Jesus spoke while still here on earth. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, Matthew 28:20. Whether you realize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, you are never out of God's sight. He sees you all the time. He is with you all the time. He watches over you all the time. I want you to understand this. We need to accept it and believe it and remain focused on it. God is always with you and me. So God said to Josh and to the people of Israel, and he's saying to us, every step you take, every place you go, I am with you. In your victories, and there will be some defeats. In your good times and your bad times. In your dark days and in your bright days, I am with you. You might want to say, but I don't feel his presence. But he says, I am with you always. You might want to say, but I don't deserve his presence. But he says, I am with you always. You might want to say, I'm no Moses, and I'm certainly not no Joshua. And he says, but you are mine, and I am with you always. In order to make your move into the promised land, you have to get in the habit of living your life in the presence of God. And right now, you already are in the presence of God. He is with you at this moment as we speak day after day. When you wake up, he is there with you. As you go about your routine throughout the day, he is there. He never, ever leaves you. You don't have to make a long journey to get into God's presence. You're already there. We just need to acknowledge it. Remain focused on the promises of God's permanent residency in your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he tells us. Acknowledge his presence. Say it. Speak it from a grateful heart. God, thank you for being right here, right now in my life. Expect it, live in it, and this is how you make your move into the promised land. With what's up ahead, hear me now, with what's up ahead, the sooner the better. For those of you who are wandering in the wilderness, who need to relocate from the desert land to the Holy Land, I want you to know that today is the day that you can begin the journey. It's a place for you. A place of promise awaits you. A place of conquests and victory in your life. God is waiting for you to enter. It's time to make your move. It's time to turn the corner. It's time to walk where God is walking. And it's time to remain focused on your promise-keeping God. You're not in this alone. Aren't you thankful for that? And you never will be. He is with you always. And that in and of itself offers us an enormous amount of hope. The young man sat alone on the bus and most of the time just stared out the window. He was a young man in his 20s, making a journey that was going to be a tough journey for him. There was a woman, a grandmotherly type woman, sitting across the aisle on the bus, and she was noticing that this young man was full of anxiety and quite anxious as he would look out the window, and then something was going on inside him, and he'd turn away because he couldn't look. And so she, in her grandmotherly kind of way, kind of took care and took notice and decided to scoot across the aisle and asked if she could sit next to him. And after a small amount of small talk, he just out of nowhere blurted out, "I've been in prison and I've just recently got out." He began to tell his story, how he was raised in a poor family. And the crime that he had done had brought a lot of shame and hurt to his family. He had written letters to them while early on in prison, never got a word back, asking for their forgiveness, just trying to make some connection. He also understood and realized that he is from a poor family. His parents did not really have the means to travel the distance to where he was in prison, somewhat not only poor but uneducated, and probably really didn't feel adequate to write back. And so after a while, he just decided to quit writing letters himself until 3 weeks before he was going to be released. He wrote one more letter asking for forgiveness. He wanted to make it easy on them, and he let them know that he was going to be boarding a bus that came right into his hometown, that actually went right by his home that he grew up in, where his parents still lived. And because he wanted to make it so easy on them, he just simply said, "I'll understand if you don't want me there, but if you do, could you just simply put and tie a white ribbon on the tree out in the front yard?" As the bus grew near to his hometown, his anxiety got stronger and stronger, and he got to the place where he could no longer even look out the window for fear, because somehow he just knew that there would be no ribbon. He told his family in that letter, "If there isn't one, I'll understand. I'll just stay on the bus. I'll go on by, and I will be out of your life forever." As he's telling this story, the grandmotherly woman, so compassionate and caring, says, "Would it help if we traded seats? And I'll look out the window for you." As they were a couple blocks away from his home and they drew near, she saw the tree. And she reached over and touched him. And she said, "Look, oh, look. Fighting back the tears, as I'm doing right now," said, "look, the whole tree is covered with white ribbons." I read that story several years ago, tucked it away in my file, went back to it this week. And as I read it once again, it occurred to me that our God is standing there waiting for us, but he's given us a signal. It's not a tree with ribbons tied on it. It's a cross stained by the blood of his son. Are you ready to make your move in a direction toward him? Are you ready to say, "God, I am yours completely. I surrender my life. I commit it all to you. And as I make my move and go in your direction, walk where you are walking, You must realize that as you're drawing closer to Him, you're getting further and further away from this world. It wants to tie you down and keep you in defeat. Are you ready to make your move? Father, we just come before you this morning and we are so thankful for your love and your faithfulness. And we are thankful that you are a promise-making and promise-keeping God. And right this morning, we have been reminded, and may we somehow even visualize in our mind, seeing you standing there in the promised land, as we've described it. Your arms are extended towards us, and we see the signal. We see the cross. We see and are reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. We are thankful that not only have you made your move, you continue to move. But God, the question comes back to us. Are we ready? And will we make our move towards you? I pray that would be the case, that we would say yes to you. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church.